B-Sal here of the Vault of Horror, and I'm back with another edition of Conversations in the Dark as part of the Vault cast. And I'm joined tonight on a very unique edition of the Vault cast and Conversations in the Dark. I'm joined by Katie Babs of the website Babbling About Books and More, which you can find at kbgbabbles.blogspot.com. It's a book blog, covers a lot of ground, young adult, romance, but also some horror. And, you know, so there's a little bit of crossover there. And so, Katie, I'd like to welcome you to the Conversations in the Dark tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And if I can just briefly set the stage here, as I said, this unique edition, just picture, if you will, because this is the zombie edition of Conversations in the Dark, that we are, you know, huddled in a corner in this abandoned cabin or barn as the hordes of the undead make their way through every door and window, and somehow, in the midst of this chaos, we find the time and wherewithal to have a discussion about zombies, because this is the one subject where I think there's a lot of crossover in terms of both of our interests and stuff that we blog about.
Yes.
So, what is it about zombies in particular that you like?
I don't know if I exactly like them. I've always had a big fear of them. Ever since, and probably a lot of people say this, when I first saw Night of the Living Dead by George Romero. Yeah, it's just that fear of you have these mindless, dead, walking things that their one goal is, I want to eat you. And you can't reason with them. And, you know, they're all around, even though they walk, basically crawl towards you. It's like this deep fear that you can't escape them. They don't have any, you know, they don't think. You can't reason with them, like even with some killers, because again, they have no reasoning or anything. So, you know, you're basically screwed because they're just this mindless thing coming at you, and their one thing is to kill you.
And so, even vampires.
Nightmares that, for a while, I had nightmares that I would have zombies coming to get me.
I did too. Believe me, I don't think you're alone in that. A lot of what you're describing, same thing. And it wasn't. I mean, Night of the Living Dead, no question. But the one that did it for me was Dawn of the Dead. Actually, the second one. That's the one that really just kind of embedded itself in my mind. And really made me terrified of zombies, but terrified in a way like that you're just fascinated by them. Like I just was like morbidly drawn to anything with zombies in it, like from having seen that movie. And I also would have these zombie nightmares. This went on for years. I am almost a little embarrassed to say how late in life these nightmares were happening, but they started in my teenage years when I saw Dawn of the Dead. And it was bad. I would always find myself, it would be like a regular dream, and all of a sudden it would just turn into a nightmare because zombies would suddenly appear in any scenario that I would find myself in.
Well, actually, I didn't see Dawn of the Dead till after 28 days later. Like, for the longest time, you know, I've seen Night of the Living Dead, I've seen all the remakes, even the cheesy, funny ones. And finally, when I got Netflix, I go, this is it, I'm going to see Dawn of the Dead. Like, I read the script and everything.
Now, do you mean the remake or the original?
The original.
Okay.
The original back in 1978. Because I read the script.
Right.
And I was very interested in seeing the movie because I went to school for film. So then when I had gotten Netflix, I actually rented it. And after the script is somewhat different from the actual movie, especially with the ending. But, yeah, I mean,
well, yeah,
again, it feeds on your fear of being stuck in a place. There's no way out. You can't reason with these killers because they don't have anything, no morals or anything. They're just these mindless things that their one goal is to destroy you.
Yeah, and the part of that is the whole thing of people that you were friends with or that were family members, people that you loved or trusted or whatever, they will just turn on you without even a moment's thought. Like, there's no way to reason. There's no way to appeal to whatever they used to be. Like, they're not, you know, it's gone. And that there's a real horror to that. There's a real dread to that mindless kind of horror. That's why I will always prefer the slower moving zombies to the ones that run around, because there's no dread there. There's no creeping dread. It's just crazy panic. Like, it's a different kind of an effect. And I prefer just the creeping dread that just kind of bores inside your soul, you know?
And also, I mean, horror movies essentially are supposed to teach you something about yourselves. And if you, such as, like, 28 Days Later, or the remake of Dawn of the Dead, where you have these zombies speed running after you, there's no way out. There's no knowing there is a light at the end of the tunnel that, oh my God, there is a way out, or I have at night. Like, after watching this, you come to the conclusion about yourself, about the world, and it's not always a horrible thing. Like, again, with the original Night of the Living Dead, even though the one guy at the end is shot by humans because they thought he was a zombie, it's still, in a way, it's uplifting, because the people are still taking control of this horrible catastrophe, and there's hope. But if you don't have any hope to survive, like, it's all is lost, then, you know, what's the point? I mean, there's always should be a way out. Even with the most, you know, gruesome of horror movies, there's always a survivor.
Yeah, and it's hard to build suspense without that. There's just, in such a fast-moving scenario like that, there's no time to even think about anything, or even to feel that fear. It's just fight or flight panic. Like, there's no like, you know, wondering if you're gonna make it, and there's no, like, you know, kind of sitting there in the dark while they're trying to get in and you hear them, and there's none of that kind of psychological. It's just, and I understand that some people prefer it the other way. They prefer the visceral and the just, like, in the moment, that nonstop, unrelenting barrage of the fast-moving zombies. I just I'll always go for the slower ones. It's the whole idea of, like, no matter what you do, where you go, they're gonna find you, they're gonna get to you, they're gonna overwhelm you. You know, like, one of the things about the Dawn of the Dead remake, which I loved, actually, but one of the things about it that was missing, I thought, was nobody ever stops to think in that movie. Like, nobody ever stops to question what the hell is going on, why is it happening, why is this happening to us? You know, what? It never gets to that level the way it does in the original, because nobody has time to stop and think. It's just react. You just have to survive. You know, it's a very different kind of horror.
And again, it's funny, like, you make fun of, well, this is not a zombie, but something like Friday the 13th or even Halloween, and you're kind of like, okay, why is Jason and Michael Myers walking so slow and these people can't escape? Again, it's the buildup, knowing that, you know, if it happens so fast, there's no real big fear. That's like, you know, going back 20, 30 years ago, it used to be a lot of the horror movies used to have a buildup. And nowadays, people want things to happen much more quicker. They don't want to wait and sit and have that whole
build up. I think that's true. Movies are just kind of made differently in general now, for the most part. Especially movies that are action driven or that are genre, you know, or special effects driven. They tend to, the editing and just the way they're made is a lot more fast paced now. And, you know, there's something that's lost there, I think. But I wanted to talk about something too pertaining to zombies as well, because, as I said before, your blog is a book blog. First and foremost, kbgbabbles.blogspot.com. And, you know, you have covered some horror in the past. There's a lot of young adult horror on there and things like that. So, or what they call paranormal romance, right? That's a big subgenre now. But, I mean, have you ever come across a lot of zombie fiction that you've liked or that, or have you read?
Actually, the next big thing they're saying in most dramas, genres, is the whole zombie myth, and it's been really, really big in young adults. A lot more young adult authors are writing zombies as characters of the zombie apocalypse that's happening. One such author that I mentioned, her name's Carrie Ryan, and she just came out with her book last year from Delacour called Forest of Hands and Teeth. And she's actually, her sequel is coming out in March called Dead to Lost Waves. And Forest of Hands and Teeth is written for a teen audience. And I had gotten an advanced copy. And I sat and read it in one sitting. By the end, I was like a nervous wreck, shaking, because it was so scary. It basically, I say it's a cross between M. Night Shyamalan's The Village and Night of the Living Dead. It takes place about 100 or 200 years after present times, and apparently there's a zombie apocalypse. And time has been lost, and there's no technology. Like, there's no TVs, phones are not in use. And it's about this girl named Mary who's 17 years old, and she lives in this village surrounded by these geese. And they kind of revert back to old traditional ways. Like, they grow their own vegetables. They believe that God's going to save them. But what the thing is, on the outside, the zombies are trying to get in. And it's always been like this since Mary was a little child. And basically, as you see her story through her eyes, and her one thing is she's always wanted to see the ocean, and she falls in love. Something happens, and the zombies finally break through the gate or the fence. And as you read the story, her and a small group of people escape, trying to find the next safe place. But it's not a typical happily ever after story. It ends, and it's still unknown. Like, no one is safe.
It also doesn't sound like a very typical zombie story. I mean,
no, it's not at all. I thought it was. It was very, very different from what I'm used to reading, because I never read something like this. Well, because again, like, the whole zombie in book things, in the books that I've known about, I haven't really, it's becoming a big trend now. It's like the next big thing.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I think, you know, there was a book from, now it's about 4 years ago, World War Z.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Which was written by Max Brooks, who, weirdly enough, is the son of Mel Brooks. But he had actually written a book a year or two before that called The Zombie Survival Guide, which was more like
one.
You read it. It was like a tongue-in-cheek, you know, kind of like how-to book. It wasn't a novel. But yeah. That and World War Z kind of kicked this all off. And now it's been exploding these past few years. I mean, like, Zombie Survival Guide, honestly, I really didn't like it. I actually had to stop a little more than halfway through because I just thought it was so dry, and it took the subject so seriously that I couldn't enjoy it. Like, it wasn't even funny. Like, it wasn't even funny in an ironic way. It was just so deadpan and so serious, and it got so into the little minutiae of every detail that it felt ridiculous to me after a while because, I mean, I was reading it for fun, like for a lark, and it's like, okay, I don't need to get into specific details of what types of, you know, blunt weapons work the best. I mean, it just got too detailed, whereas World War Z I had a blast with. I think it's fantastic. It was like this epic, this sprawling zombie epic. But I mentioned this to you actually before we got on here, but Breathers, A Zombie's Lament, which is... the S.G. Brown book is probably the hottest one right now. It's like, it's sort of like at the cutting edge of all the zombie fiction, and Diablo Cody's going to be producing a movie based on it. I read it. I enjoyed it. I think it was a bit overhyped. Not to say it wasn't a great read. I think I was set up to I was looking for something a little bit more, but I did enjoy it. It had its problems, but it's actually very clever because it takes these these zombies, and it humanizes them, and it puts them in like in these kind of romantic entanglements, and it asks all these kind of civil rights questions about zombies. You know, are they human? Do they have rights? And it's a pretty fascinating read, actually. If you haven't read it, you should check it out.
Well, there's another author. His name's Mark Henry, who publishes with Dorchester, and he has these. I think it's three or four books about a zombie heroine called Amanda Farrell, and she was changed into a zombie. His humor is more across, is very potty humor.
Right.
I didn't read the first book, I read the second book, and I was just a little turned off by it. But it's a humorous story where you have Amanda and her friend who are zombies. And they're treated, they go through life like humans, but again, they have to kill people because they're hungry for human flesh.
Right.
So they'll be in these situations, like going to the dance club, and they go, okay, I'm hungry. So it seems that there's a lot more, like you said, tongue-in-cheek zombie-type books coming out rather than, this is an issue for me, in the romance genre, they want to start trying to make zombies as romantic creatures, romantic characters. But my issue is because you have over 40 years of thinking of zombies as rotting, you know, hungering for flesh. How can you make a zombie character involved with, say, a human or with another type of creature without that in your back of your mind?
Well,
it's not gonna end well unless you have like two zombies together.
Which is what Breathers does, yeah.
Yeah, see that would work, but like I have one friend that's trying to write more of a science fiction zombie type thing, and she's trying to do it as a sci-fi paranormal where she has a zombie from another planet falling in love with a fairy from another planet. It's a whole sci-fi paranormal thing, and that makes sense if you have two supernatural creatures balancing each other out. But if you have, say, a zombie hero who kind of falls for a human heroine, unless you can build up that emotional attachment and have a way out for these two to be together, I can't see it. I can't see them like, okay, let's go off and get married and be intimate, because again, you know, zombies are thought of as falling apart and rotting, so.
It's a little different thing from, say, I mean, obviously the vampire has been, you know, a sexualized creature for, you know, decades now. And it's a fairly, you know, and now we have things like Twilight and True Blood that have really just kind of, you know, taking it into a whole other direction where, you know, it's just, you know, actually Dark Shadows did that a little bit even back in the day. There's nothing new under the sun, as they say, but taking the vampire, you know, and making it this really, like, romance even more than horror. Like, you wouldn't even call Twilight horror. But the thing about the zombie thing, it's a little bit different, and I'm finding these past few years, there really is this whole movement of eroticizing the zombie. And I know it's kind of counterintuitive. It doesn't seem to totally make sense, and I get where you're coming from. But there is a whole movement in that direction right now, so I'm not all that surprised that they're looking to go that way. And I think it just, in the same way that it happens with the vampire, it's this whole idea, I think, of just of these creatures that want to consume you, you know? That it can be turned around into almost something that's kind of erotic in a way, and it's not as easy to pull off as it is with vampires, you know. But it's possible, and I think there's an audience for it for sure. I really do.
Well, I think for the problem, there's an author again who writes for Kensington. Her name is Zoe Archer, and she wrote a kind of an anthology. A zombie romance, but it didn't work for me because it takes place in 19th century England, and the hero basically went off to war, and this evil general has the power to raise the dead, and they become his puppets. But the thing with the main character, when he comes back to the heroine to explain everything, He's just like a vampire, except he doesn't thirst for blood or even humans. He just doesn't have a heartbeat. He doesn't breathe. And then, like, the mob knows something's evil. They decide it's him. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, he's not a zombie, because you're basically, you're trying to romanticize him, but you're giving him more of these seductive vampire traits. And I think that's my fear, is they're going to take the zombie character and make them more into this seductive vampire, such as, you know, the, like, you know, you see from Twilight, you're saying True Blood, or even talking about vampires again, what Anne Rice did in the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
She's like one of the main reasons that vampires, the modern day vampire, and so many authors, it is what it is because of her. Vampires used to be, I think what's her name, Chelsea Yarbrough?
Yeah.
I can't say her name right. She wrote about a vampire. It's actually, I think she just wrote her, oh God, she's been writing about a one vampire hero in the mid-60s, and she's still writing. And he's kind of romanticized. But again, vampires were always thought of these evil, yeah, semi-seductive, but still, I mean, even Bram Stoker's Dracula, I mean, I read that, and
well, yeah,
anything sexually gratifying about him. I thought he was, you know.
That's the thing. In that novel, it really isn't, you don't get that romantic aspect of it, and I don't think that happens in the movies with the vampires, or rather, not in the movies so much, as but in culture, as with when you get to the stage, the original stage production of Dracula, which is what the movie was based on, the Bela Lugosi movie. To my knowledge, it's the first time you really start getting that romantic side, that kind of, that sexually charged side of the vampire, where, you know, before that he's just this disgusting monster. And but it didn't happen in books really so much until you get to Anne Rice, because you still had, you know, books like Salem's Lot, and where the vampire is still disgusting. But once you get to Anne Rice, that changes. And I think now we're actually going to start seeing that with zombies. That's what seems to be happening now.
I think like you have that one writer that is skilled enough to write something.
Yeah.
And it can catch on.
Well, as we sit here, you know, the hordes of the undead outside trying to break their way in and stop this wonderful conversation that we're having about zombies. But the one last thing that I wanted to mention, because we had already talked about breathers, is that if you read that, you'll get a little hint of what I'm talking about, because there's you know, the female love interest in that book is really made to seem very appealing, the way she's described. And again, in that book, they can speak, and they can, you know, they're sentient, they can think and reason. They're not like the classic Romero zombies. But the way that that S.G. Brown talks about her, she's actually very appealing. And, you know, it's sort of a hint of what I'm talking about. So you should check that out. And you should review it on your blog, which is Babbling About Books and More. I will say it one last time. kbgbabbles.blogspot.com, which is actually an extremely popular book blog, probably even bigger, dare I say, than the Baltimore, but you didn't hear that here. But I just want to thank you, though, very much for being a part of Conversations in the Dark this week, Katie Babbs. And I'm very glad that we somehow managed to get this conversation in while we're still keeping the ghouls at bay outside, and that they didn't break
just
in here.
Hear them knocking on the door.
Yeah,
ones, or are they the...
Yeah, I hope that they're S.G. Brown zombies and not George Romero zombies. That would be much better. But, yeah, thank you very much for being a part of this week.